Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Hey everybody this morning. Glad you're here this morning. You glad you're here?
Yes.
That's what counts. That you're in the right place at the right time.
Right.
Positioning yourself for success, right?
That's right.
That's, yeah. When God sees your face show up like this to Him, it is a move of faith, of your faith.
Right.
Because He's waiting for you to do something. So when you show up, that means you're expecting and you're looking to Him. That's right. Yeah, you got to initiate something. Hallelujah. That's a move when you get up and come here to the Healing Center on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Praise God. We're going to open up with prayer and get started this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we come before your presence this morning. We thank you for your awesome presence in this place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place, the burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. We thank you for your word here today, Lord, that your word is precious, is valuable. We esteem it, and your word is all powerful. It does not return unto you void, but it goes out. It accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers in the thing where it's being sent. We thank you today that your word is piercing the heart of each person. It's bearing witness. It's convincing them of the truth. Lies fail, but the truth prevails. And Father, I ask that you grant me divine utterance in this place today. Think through my thoughts and speak through my lips your words. While you stretch out your hands to heal, and signs and wonders and miracles are wrought and done in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all praise for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. How many brought your sword of the Spirit with you? Glory to God. We're going to take our Bibles this morning. We're going to make a declaration with our mouths, because we know that what? Our mouths is the speech center, is the dominion center of our lives. It's one of the ways that we release our faith.
Yes.
It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to release it. And so you don't begin to grow until you begin to do what you know.
No.
You're putting into action what you're learning. So let's make this declaration together. I'm a believer and not a doubter.
I choose to
walk by faith and not by sight.
Today,
I receive
the incorruptible,
indestructible
Word of God
into my heart,
and
I will never be the same.
In
Jesus' name,
amen.
Hallelujah. You believe that? Praise God. It's the hearers, the doers, and the ones that believe the things that they're hearing and doing, applying it. Amen. We'd like to welcome all those online with us this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us today. We always say, whatever we do here, you do the same thing there, you get the same result. The Word of God is, it's the same wherever you're being, hearing it and being taught it. There's no shortness in the spirit realm when it comes to the Word of God. It's the same everywhere. Hallelujah. Especially to those who hear it. So just begin to act on it. Receive it this morning, what you're hearing. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about atmosphere changers and putting your praise on. How many has been practicing it, becoming more skillful with it? Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells us it's through our praise that God inhabits. He lives in our praises. Hallelujah. And when it tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, it tells us to what? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yeah.
It tells us to put something on. We're the ones that put it on. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? In other words, you're not waiting for a feeling to praise and worship God. No, it's not about a feeling, because what? Feelings are the voice of our bodies. And the body, our bodies, is not the real us. Remember, we are a three-part being. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in this physical body. This body is the house or the shell for your spirit man and your soul. So the more that we become greater knowledgeable of those things, the greater we'll understand the dimension of the spirit when it comes to knowing who you are, that you are a spirit being. Yeah. You possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, your reasoning, your intellect, but you live in this physical body. But the body is not the real you. So the body was not given to you to tell you what you have and what you don't have. Your body was given to you to contact this physical world that we live in every single day. But your body was not given to you to dictate and tell you what you have in Christ and what you don't have concerning this Bible and what it says about you. The Bible says, with the heart man believes. What is the heart, Pastor Debbie? That organ that pumps blood through my body? No, we're talking about the spirit of man, the core of your being, the very core of your being, the real you, the real you. You are a spirit created in the likeness and the image of God. Hallelujah. God is a spirit, the Bible tells us, and it tells us in John 4:24, he's a spirit being. And we worship him in what? Spirit and truth. And he's seeking for such worshipers, genuine, true worshipers that know how to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So we're putting our praise on. We're learning to praise God with even sacrifices of praise, because we found it last week in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, and even the week before that, concerning praise, that it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. This is how we should live as believers, as Christians on the earth today. That it doesn't matter whether we feel something or we don't feel it, whether we see it or we don't see it. We're praising and we're thanking God for what he's already done and provided 2,000 years ago through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection on that cross. When Jesus arose from the dead, he arose as a victor over the dark domain. And that victory that Jesus Christ rose with, he gave to you and I. That victory that belongs to you and I. Yeah. That's our victory. What he provided in the great plan of redemption. Yeah. The remission of our sins and the healing for our physical bodies. Righteousness for our spirits. Yeah. Peace for our minds. Hallelujah. So we don't have to allow the enemy to come and rob and steal from us in these areas. Because when you're born again, when you've received Jesus as your Savior, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No more condemnation. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have that right standing with God. You have that, you've been accepted by God. Hallelujah. Praise God when we're born again. So you have his life, his nature, and his ability on the inside of you. Yeah. So healing belongs to you. And when healing belongs to you, that's something that's already been provided. It's already been bought and paid for. It's already been bought, Pastor Debbie. Yep, it's already been paid for. Yep, it's already been paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing has already been provided. Our success in this life has already been provided. God is waiting on us to what? Take a hold of that. Believe that. Believe his word. Believe his promise. And then take a hold of that with our own faith. And say, that's mine. I believe it's mine. I have it now. It's mine now in Jesus' name, according to the word of God. I believe it's mine. Yeah. Hallelujah. So when we pray, we ask God. But when we praise, we win battles. Yes. When we praise God, we win battles. Your praise brings victory to your address.
Yes, it does.
Oh, let me say that again. When we praise God, we win battles. Your praise will bring victory to your house, to your address. When the children of Judah, the tribe of Judah and King Jehoshaphat, when they were surrounded by all these enemies and armies, he sought the Lord, the people sought the Lord, they all sought the Lord together, and the Lord said, the battle is not yours, but the victory is yours. The battle is mine, says the Lord. He says, but go out there, and they began to go out there. They sent the praisers and the singers out ahead of the army. They were praising, singing, and thanking God and saying the same thing. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. They were saying it together in one accord. They were praising God. They were thanking God. And what happened? The Bible says in the midst of their praise, God set ambushments against their enemies. The enemy began to turn on themselves, and they destroyed themselves. And the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that not one escaped alive. Not one. When they began to what? Praise and worship God and declare and thank him for the Lord, you are good. And they kept saying it over and over again, declaring his goodness, his bigness, his greatness. Come on now. God got involved in those what? Praises.
Yeah.
God inhabits, Psalms 22 verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. God lives in the praises of his people. He takes up residence in the praises of his people. Hallelujah. So when we praise God, we win battles. Hallelujah. The devil is not going to stick around when you begin praising and thanking your God. No, he's not. Hallelujah. So we also found out this, that when we praise God, it keeps up the right atmosphere, because we've been talking about being atmosphere changers. And so when we praise and thank God, it keeps the right atmosphere around us set for God's movement. And that's what we want, a movement of God in our lives. It's setting the right atmosphere for God to move in your life, in your situation. We saw in Psalms chapter 8 and in verse 2 that praise silences the enemy. I said praise silences the enemy. Shuts him up, shuts him down, silences the enemy. Praise. It says in Psalms 8:2, when we praise and magnify God, it brings God's strength into our situation. Then it shuts the mouth of the devil and all the voices of doubt, unbelief, and fear that are trying to get in there. Come on now. Praise shuts the mouth of the enemy. It silences the enemy. Praise keeps the atmosphere for the movement of God in our lives so that the devil's entrance is barred and he can't get in. We saw in Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, that it when we praise our God, when we're joyful before God, when we rejoice in our God, that it builds, he builds a covering over us and he begins to defend us. Hallelujah. The right atmosphere. You are atmosphere changer. You don't have to be in an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief and depression and oppression. No, you can change the atmosphere around you with your praise. Hallelujah. So when we praise God, we win battles. Praise also helps us keep our mind on God, the answer, not on your problem. Too many times we're talking about our problem and not about our answer.
Right.
The Word of God is our answer. So when we're praising and worshiping and thanking God, that He is our answer. So it helps you to keep your mind on the answer and not the problem.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We also found out that praise is a divine strategy. A divine strategy? What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? It's good to send out praise ahead of you. What do you mean? Send out praise ahead of you. You begin praising. When you have prayed and asked God for a particular thing and you believe in Him for it, it is a good thing to begin to send out praise ahead of you, thanking Him and praising Him that you already got it before you ever see it or feel it. I said, it's a divine strategy to send out praise ahead of you. Come on now. To send out praise ahead of you before you ever see something or feel something. And we read that in Judges last week when they asked after Joshua died, and they said, Lord, who do we send now? He says, send out the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. Send out the praise first. Hallelujah. So we want to send the praise first ahead of you. Before you ever see something and feel something, that's also a... Remember that praise is the fundamental element to your faith. Praise is a fundamental element to your faith. Your faith needs your praise. When you're praising and thanking God, it is an action of your faith. You're releasing your faith when you're praising and thanking God ahead of time before you ever feel something or before you ever see anything. Come on now. You're thanking Him and praising Him that you got it according to His word. You know, we need to practice this more and more. We need to become more skillful with this. It's a lifestyle. It's not just in the times of crisis. Are you hearing me? This isn't all. We need to practice this all the time. We need to be ready and willing to praise our God at any given moment. Ready and willing. If we don't learn to praise Him more, you're going to worry more. You're going to fret more. You're going to be fearful more. You're going to complain more. Come on now. Yeah. Yep. But if you learn to praise, you'll get raised. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise and get raised. We don't want to give any place to the enemy. And boy, the enemy would love for us to complain and murmur and gripe. The gripers get the vipers. No, we don't want that. Hallelujah. We want to be praisers and get raised. Hallelujah. So a divine strategy is to send the praise out ahead of us before we ever see something, feel something, but just taking that time. Come on now, because we found out that when we praise and worship God, it creates the atmosphere. If we're there, if we stay there long enough, for that anointing to begin to rise up, and that's that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. You begin to sense the presence of God more than you do your chair you're sitting on. Hallelujah. Praise God. That begins to rise up, and then that's building that barricade to keep the devil out. Hallelujah. When he's trying to antagonize you, harass you, irritate you. Come on now. Sending the wrong thoughts your way that are contrary to this book right here, the Bible. Hallelujah. When those thoughts start coming, you better start reacting. But not reacting. How about cooperating with the Holy Ghost? We don't want to react. We want to act. Hallelujah. We want to act our faith. And by acting our faith, it's praise and worshiping God, thanking God. So we also found out in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 15 in the Amplified Version. What does praise look like, Pastor Debbie? And it says right here in verse 15, Hebrews 13, 15, the Amplified Version says, through Him. Through who? Jesus. Through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. There's that word sacrifice. So we're not waiting for a feeling first before we decide to praise God second. No, we're offering. He loves to see us praise and worship Him without waiting for a feeling or seeing something first. No, the Bible says praise him, rejoice in him, rejoice always. It says I will continually bless the Lord at all times. He wants us to praise him all the time. So it says, at all times, offer up to God that sacrifice of praise, which is what? The fruit of our lips. Here we go, using our mouths. The fruit of our lips that thankfully, what? Acknowledge him. So praise is part of it, is acknowledging God, acknowledging Jesus, who he is to you, as your Savior, as your Lord, as your healer, as your deliverer, as your bread provider, as your caretaker, as your defender, as your rock, as your refuge. Come on now. Yes, he is. He's all of that and more. He's the all-sufficient one. He's more than enough for any of us. Hallelujah. So part of praise is acknowledging him. Part of praise is thanking him, coming before his presence with thanksgiving, thanking him for what he's already done for you. We praise God and thank him for what he's already done. What has he done? He's redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, the Bible says. Psalms 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Say it. Hallelujah. That's part of your declaration of praising and worshiping God. So it's confession. It's an expression of gratitude, of reverence, of appreciation, of honor. For what he's done for you. He saved you. He healed you. He bought you. He redeemed you. He gave you eternal life. And then it also says right here, the fruit of our lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. When we begin to glorify his name, that's when we begin to what? Worship and honor him for who he is. Praising him for what he's done, but we're worshiping him for who he is. So that's when you begin to magnify him. That's when you can get on your knees. That's when you can lift your hands. That's when you can bow your face before him. That's it. It's a humbleness before him. You begin to acknowledge him for who he truly is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Excuse me. So we looked at that and we found out that praise is a mighty, mighty weapon, but it's also a lifestyle for the believer, for the Christian. So when we praise God, it's a divine strategy. It silences the enemy. We win battles. Hallelujah. We're talking about our praise life. It helps us stay focused on the Lord, the answer, not the problem. You know, I remember I went to the hospital one time, and there was a woman in there, and she'd been diagnosed with cancer. And I went to her room and got in there where she was, and I sat beside her bed, and she began to tell me what the doctors were diagnosing and had said to her. And she said, they said, Pastor Debbie, that I had blah, blah, blah cancer, and that it spreads fast, blah, blah, blah. And she says, but you know what? She goes, I don't believe a word of that. And she jumps out of the bed right in front of me. And she takes it, you know, because she's hooked up intravenously to that little thing that has the bag on it. And she grabs that and she starts taking it around the bed like this. And then she goes back around this side. She goes, but I believe that I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. I said, you go, girl. I said, that's awesome. She says, I know they're saying this, but she says, I believe I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. I said, glory to God. So she took off again. She has that little thing on wheels, and she's running to this side. You know, you can only run but so far when you got the bag hooked up to you on the wheels. But it was what? It was an expression of her faith that she believed God in spite of the enemy's report, or the devil's report, or the bad report that came to her. So I told her, I said, I'm with you, girl. So when she got up and she'd get up, then she started dancing. Girl, I said, I'm with you, girl. I'll get up there and do the dance with you. Hallelujah. I'm with you in this. You are the healed of the Lord. So they kept her there, and they were running more tests and giving her all these options about what she should do, shouldn't do, can't do. We're not against doctors. We appreciate doctors. They're trying to do the same thing that we're doing by faith, except they're trying to do it through the medical world. And she chose to believe God. And she got convinced, because she had her Bible right there with her, and she was going over the healing scriptures, buddy. I mean, she had all her thing right there with her in her Bible, and she was going over them. She was declaring them to me, and I was rejoicing with her. Well, they kept her in there for a week, ran all this stuff on her, and told her. He said, now when she says, well, I'm choosing to go home and thank you, and thank you, but I believe this report. So she went home. What did she do, Pastor Debbie? She chose to believe God. And you know what? She's still here today. And you know what? She's cancer free. Last time I ran into her, she says, I just started smiling and laughing. I said, every time I see you, I think about that hospital room and you taking that thing and running on the side of the bed. Then you're going back to this. She goes, you know what? She goes, if I hadn't have done that, if I had just stayed in that bed and kept listening to every doctor and nurse that come in there and gave me that report, she said, I would have never been where I am today. I said, you are exactly right. Exactly right. But she was fully convinced in her heart that she was healed. Are y'all getting this? It wasn't just head knowledge or information to her anymore. Uh-uh. She was past that point where she had meditated, decided to make a decision. I'm going with God and what His Word says about me. And then she meditated on that till she was fully convinced in her heart, in her spirit, and it produced a picture of herself. She began to see herself up, living long life, enjoying her husband, her marriage, her children, grandchildren. Come on now. Because when the enemy begins to come in there and you're thinking about the other reports that the doctors can give you, and you're thinking about your funeral, your casket, what kind of this you're going to have, who you're going to leave this to, what you're going to give this one to. Come on now. You're either going to plan for life or you're going to plan for death. It does make a difference. You're being hard, Pastor Debbie. No, I'm speaking the truth to you in love. Because I care about you living and not dying. Just like the Bible says in Psalms 117, verse 18, you shall live and not die and declare the mighty works of God. And this woman, she decided to do that. And the Word of God did not fail her, nor did it let her down. She won through her faith and trust in God and His Word. And we want to give up after one day or 2 days when we're feeling the pain. We got to get past and over the pain, because pain is what? Feelings, and that's the voice of our bodies. And the enemy will do all he can to put the pressure on the voice of your body and your mind if you've not renewed your mind. He'll also use your reasoning. If it's not a renewed mind, he'll use your reasoning thoughts to either line up with God's word. He don't want your thoughts to line up with God's word. He wants those thoughts to line up with what He wants you to think, which is death. Come on now. This all makes a difference. Hallelujah. We're talking about the power of praise and worship. I remember another instance. I remember this story that Brother Hagin told of a man who was 28 years old, and he had TB, because back in that day it was the second largest killer in the world, tuberculosis. He was 28 years old, he was married, and he even had a young child. And he came down with TB. And at that time, they did everything they could do for this man, and they sent him home in bed to give him up to, they were telling the family, he's got this much time and he'll be gone. So he's in the house laying in bed, and they're on a big farm, and so all the family's out on the farm doing their duties just to keep the farm going, and he's in the house in bed, and he can't do anything. He's weak, from the disease, from the TB, tuberculosis. And so he's laying there and he's thinking through his thoughts, if all the prayers from all these people, everybody that I have that come to me, that have called and said they're praying and all that, and he's counting up and taking into account all these prayers and everything that's going up for him, he said, then I don't need any more prayer. He said, Lord, I'm just going to lay here and begin to thank you. Because everybody had told him and were expecting him to die. The doctor sent him home to die. They could not do any more for him. So he's laying there in bed, and like I said, he's gotten so weak from the disease that he can barely whisper. But he decides that he's going to just praise and thank God, thank him for something that Jesus has already done for him, because he's taken into account all of these prayers, everything with everybody. He's like, hold it. I must have to do something here. I got to do something. So he begins to praise God, and he said, he crawls out of the bed. He musters up enough strength to crawl out of the bed, out of the house, and get under a big oak tree in the backyard. So he's out in the backyard. His family thinks he's in the house. They don't know where he is. They think he's in the house in the bed. He's under a big oak tree in the backyard. Nobody knows. So he says, I'm either going to lie here and die, or I'm going to praise God right on through. So he begins to whisper, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. I just want to thank you. And he praises God. 10 minutes go by. He notices he begins to get strength in his voice. 30 minutes go by. He begins to get strength in his arms. He's able to lift his arms. And we're talking about first it affects his voice. Then he's able to lift his hands. He's still lying there on his back under an oak tree in the backyard. Nobody knows where he is. He could either die or live. But he chooses to just thank and praise God. We're talking about the power of praise. So he praises. 2.5 hours go by. He's laying there on his back with his hands raised. And he's praising and thanking God, praising God for his healing. And 2.5 hours go by and he's standing up, shouting and praising God so loud that the neighbors across the way hear him shouting and praising his God. Totally healed, delivered of tuberculosis, all because he could either die or decide to praise and thank God for what God had already done for him. Yes. Come on now. Laying there on his back in the backyard under a big oak tree, so weak he couldn't even do nothing but whisper. But he started out with that whisper in faith. I'm telling you, sometimes we stop. It's too easy. We stop. We think. We got to have some determination in us. Yes. A fight in us. The fight, the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, it says. What? To stay in faith, because the enemy is trying to move you off your faith in the Word of God. Yeah. And when we're actively resisting the devil, that means there's action. There's action in there when we're actively resisting the devil, when he's telling you you're going to die and you're saying, no, I shall live and not die and declare the mighty works of God. Hallelujah. I'm going up in the rapture, bless God. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah. The enemy doesn't like that. Mm-mm. But we're talking about being bold and strong and praise, shutting the mouth of the enemy, praising God, creating the right atmosphere for a movement of God in our lives, because God lives in our praises. And when praises go up, his presence comes down. There's that burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. God's strength is released into our situation. Yes. He begins to shut the mouth of the enemy, the devil. All shuts the mouth of doubt, unbelief, and all these other voices that are coming at you. Come on now. helps us keep our mind on the answer. If we will just learn to praise more, becoming more skillful at it, practicing it day in and day out. Because if we, look, we don't want the devil to think he's winning. I said, we don't want the devil to think he's winning. And if we're just sitting there quiet, giving in to all these thoughts and feelings that are coming against us, he's going to think he's winning. But when he sees you up praising your God, magnifying God, shouting, rejoicing, running around the kitchen, doing a faith run around your kitchen table, hallelujah. Yeah. You mean you just running to run? No, I'm running to express my faith in what I believe is true. Hallelujah now. That's right. You are the victorious one. You are the victor, not the victim. So if we learn to praise him more, we're going to worry less, fear less, be stressed less. Come on now. Oh my goodness. Praise is going to be the bulk of your victory. Praise and worship is going to be the bulk of your victory. You're praising, you're thanking God that it's already done. Something has already taken place. Yeah, 2,000 years ago, it sure did. It already took place 2,000 years ago. But you're believing it for you, and you're possessing yours right now, because the Bible says in John 6:47, he that believeth now possesses, the Amplified says. He that believeth now possesses. Not waiting to get it. No, it's mine now, bless God. I don't have to feel something. I don't have to see something first. No, praise God. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to make, what does the Bible say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't know how many times it says that in the book of Psalm. In the book of Psalm, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some of you think, well, I can't sing. It's all right. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Right. That word, make a joyful noise, it means a shout. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Strike terror unto your enemies, man. When you shout with a shout of triumph, not a shout of defeat, it says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Let it come from the very core of your being, out of your spirit, man. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. You're the victorious one. Glory to God. I'm telling you. Well, let's turn in our Bibles and let's look at another. We looked at King Jehoshaphat and the tribe of Judah in the book of 2 Chronicles. Let's go to the book of Acts in the New Testament, and we're going to look at, turn together in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at Paul and Silas. We're talking about atmosphere changers, the power of praise, how vital our praise is to our faith, that it's releasing our faith when we're praising God, and we need to learn how to release our faith. Hallelujah. But we see here in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. Let's begin in verse 16, Acts 16, verse 16, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, as we were on our way to the place of prayer. Now, here's Paul and Silas. What are they doing? They're going to a place of prayer. It says, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners much gain by her fortune telling. How many know that that kind of stuff is an abomination unto God? Yeah, you know, when I got born again, there were certain things that I renounced. And this was part of me when I got born again. I said, I renounce these things because I didn't know any different. Tarot cards, psychic hotline, Ouija board. Come on now. I said, Lord, it's abomination unto you. Forgive me for doing any of those things. Why? Because it's of the demonic realm. You're seeking another power, and it's not God's power. You're seeking the devil's power. Renounce it. Get rid of it. Repent of it. Hallelujah, if you are. Anyway, so this girl was doing that. She was possessed of this spirit, claiming to foretell her future events and gain by her fortune telling. She brought much of her owners, much gain by her fortune telling. Verse 17, she kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation." She did this for many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out. What? Paul was sorely annoyed and worn out by this. He turned and he said to the spirit within her. Now, this is the girl that's fortune telling. This is the girl that has a spirit of divination in her. He speaks to her. He speaks to this devil within her. Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit, verse 18, within her, "I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. And when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was now gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas. They dragged them before the authorities in the forum marketplace where trials were held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, "These fellows are Jews, and they are throwing our city into great confusion." They weren't throwing their city into great confusion. They had come there to pray for their city. We read it in verse 16. Paul and Silas were going there to pray for that city. And these men began to lie. They said, "These fellows, Jews, they're throwing our city to great confusion." Verse 21, "And they encouraged the practice of customs, which it is unlawful for us Romans to accept or observe." Verse 22, "The crowd also joined in the attack upon them. The rulers, they tore the clothes off of them. They commanded that they be beaten with rods." Did this situation look very good? No, it did not look good at all for Paul and Silas. And they were standing up for the truth. They were going into the city to pray for the city. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes against them. Here's a girl, a little slave girl with the spirit of divination. They set her free, even helping her. And the people there get mad about this. Verse 23, "And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." What? "And having received so strict a charge, he put them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in stocks." He put them what? Into the inner dungeon. That's down where the sewage and everything else flows. It was filthy. It was dirty. It was horrible. "And then he fastened their feet in the stocks." Verse 25, But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." What was happening? Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises and hymns to God, and they were not quiet about their praising God. They were loud about their praising their God. Even after they'd been beaten, Pastor Debbie, their clothes torn off of them, they'd been beaten with rods, yes, put into the down into the very deepest dungeon part of the prison, and they decided to praise God and pray. Well, glory to God. This don't look like a good part, does it? "At the midnight hour." Anybody ever had a midnight hour? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. "At the midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God." Boy, when it looks the hardest, when it looks the worst, feels the worst, you've been told the worst. Come on now. Looks the worst, feels the worst, you've been told the worst. Report. "At the midnight hour, Paul and Silas decide that they're going to thank and praise God and pray. And said they did it out loud, and the other prisoners were listening to them." Verse 26, "Suddenly." Hey, I love the suddenlies of God. Here we go. A suddenly of God? Yeah, through praise and worship. We talked about the power of praise changing the atmosphere. They were changing their atmosphere in that prison because it could have been doom and gloom, and they could have been so depressed from the smell and the sewage and the junk and the chains and everything that were shackles that were on them. Come on, they could have complained and said, oh God, why are we here in this place? We set that slave girl free for you. No. They didn't decide to complain and murmur and gripe. No, they began to praise their God. And because they praised God, suddenly there was a great earthquake. What does that remind you of? Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when the believers got together and they prayed, it said the foundations of the place that they were praying in was what? Shaken. In other words, there was such power released. Come on now. Woo! There was such power that was released in their praise and their worship time. Talking about Paul and Silas here at the midnight hour when you're feeling the worst, it looks the worst, seems the worst, you've been told the worst, lift up your voice and begin to praise your God. Begin to thank your God because he's already done your victory. He's already provided for your victory. Hallelujah. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. Just like when they prayed together in Acts chapter 4. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We talked about the power of praise. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Is it really powerful, that powerful, Pastor Debbie? Yes. When you get in one accord and you believe in your God and you're really magnifying him. We talked about the anointing coming in, God's strength, God's might, God's power being released in your situation. Just like in the tribe of Judah and Jehoshaphat, when the God set up ambushments and the enemy began to destroy himself, that was such power that was released. Come on now. We're not looking at something little, small, and weak. No. We serve a mighty God. We serve a big God. We serve a great God. Hallelujah. Who's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. So it says the very foundations of the prison was shaken. And at once, say at once. At once, all of the doors were open and everyone's shackles were unfastened, or you could say came undone. In other words, immediately because of a suddenly of God, their praises, when they began to praise and worship and thank God, the power of God fell. Not only did it set them free, but those that were around them, it began to affect them. It began to affect them. Listen now. Verse 27, when the jailer startled out of his sleep, so obviously it was such peace in the place. Come on now. Such peace in the prison when they were singing and praising God. The jailer fell asleep in the midst of it. I mean, that's peace. Hallelujah. He was startled out of his sleep and awakened by this earthquake. And the prison doors were open. He began to draw his sword and was out of the point of killing himself because he supposed that all the prisoners had escaped. Naturally thinking, doors open, everyone's doors is open, everyone's shackles fell off immediately, suddenly. Verse 28, Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Oh my gosh, does this tell you something? Such a power was released. Such a presence came in there. Not even one prisoner wanted to leave. You think about that. Not one wanted to escape and leave. They all stayed right there. Stayed right there. And then the one that was overseeing the whole thing, he fell asleep. That's pretty good, is what I got to say. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we all here." Verse 29, then the jailer called for lights. He rushed in. He trembling and terrified. Trembling. Well, what do you think he was trembling of? He got under that power that was released when that earthquake took place, that suddenly of God happened. Now he's sitting there trembling under the power of God. He's running. All of a sudden he's recognizing a different atmosphere in there, and it ain't because of certain. No. He called for lights. He rushed in, trembling, terrified. He fell down before Paul and Silas. So now there's a fear of God on him, a reverential fear because of what he's seeing and hearing. Come on now. Verse 30, and he brought them out of the dungeon, and he said, "Men, what is it necessary for me to do that I might be saved?" He's saying, "Look, I've had an encounter with the power of God. I've seen, I've heard, it's right before my eyes. What do I have to do to get saved? This is unbearable. I have to get my life straight right here, right now." Oh my gosh, I'm believing for these kind of days coming. For the sinners, for those that are lost, that the power of God just show up and they run on their knees and say, "Oh my God, I can't take this any longer. What must I do to be saved?" Ooh, glory to God. And we're praising and worshiping God. And he brought them all out of the dungeon and said, "Men, what is necessary for me to do that I might be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping." My God, right there, that could preach. Take yourself out of your own keeping. You trying to do everything in your own strength, your own power. No, God says, "Give all that up and do it in my power and my might. Do it with me." And take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and your household as well. My goodness. So not only did it affect him, the jailer that was the keeper of this prison, it affected his whole household. Now it begins to spread through his family. Are y'all seeing this? Are y'all getting this? Because of praise and worship, you don't know. If you only knew what was happening in the spirit realm every time you took the time to praise and worship God, God is dealing in your household. He's dealing with your children. He's working in your job. He's working through your finances. I'm telling you, he's working. Hallelujah. We need to expect some things when we're worshiping and praising God and taking time to honor him and reverence him. So he says, "For this applies both to you and your household as well." And they declared the word of the Lord, verse 32, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night. He bathed them because of their bloody wounds. So it wasn't just a little tap, tap on their shoulder, being hit with the rods. No, they were bloody. It brought bleeding to their skin. And he took them the same hour of the night, bathed them because of their bloody wounds, and he was baptized immediately, and all the members of his household. His whole house got saved because Paul and Silas decided to praise and worship their God instead of complain or gripe or murmur about where they were, what was happening to them. No, they weren't magnifying the situation. They were magnifying God, their answer. Do y'all see this? And it affected not only them and their freedom, brought their freedom out of that jail prison, but it brought many others' freedom there too. This jailer and his whole household. It says, and he took them the same hour of the night. He bathed them because of their bloody wounds. He was baptized immediately and all the members of his household. And he took them up into the house. He set food before them. He leaped much for joy. Can y'all imagine? Can y'all see this? This is the jailer now. He's leaping much for joy and exalted with all his family that he believed in God, accepting and joyously welcoming what he had made known through Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Household salvation. Because of praise and worship and prayer, there was an earthquake. Prison doors were open, portals or entrances into heaven. And then there took place salvation for one man, and then his whole house was affected. Praise and worship. The power of praise and worship. We talk about the power of praise and worship, changing our atmosphere. These men changed their atmosphere. And when they did, it affected more than just them. And then what it brought about, and the same thing we want to see today, more salvations, more people saved, more people delivered and set free that are being held captive by the enemy. Jesus came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to learn to praise Him more and praise Him more. We don't want the devil to think he's winning, but we're going to practice this more. We're going to become more skillful at this because praise silences the enemy. God gets involved in our praises and our worship time. Hallelujah. He inhabits the praises of His people. It builds a barricade around our lives to keep the devil out. A wall, a covering to defend you. And then the divine strategy is to send praise out ahead of you. Before you ever see anything, feel anything, begin to praise and worship your God. Send the praise out ahead of you. And we found out that praise and worship ain't quiet. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas wasn't quiet about it. The prisoners heard them. Everybody around them heard them. Hallelujah. They were all impacted by it. They were affected by it and made a difference for everybody. Hallelujah. So just a reminder, become more and more skillful. Let's practice this more and more. It's a lifestyle. Remember, it's our lifestyle. Let us, what does it tell us in Hebrews 13:15? Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name, that confess, that joyfully thank Him, confess and praise and magnify and glorify His name. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank You today. We're believing, Lord, right here, right now, that more and more believers, Christians, are getting a hold of this, the power of praise, how to change their atmosphere, how to be a better praiser and worshiper, because it's what they do in secret that You reward openly. Lord, that's the fullest of pleasing You right there when they choose to do it by themselves. When nobody else is around, they don't have the congregation around them, their church family around them, but right there in their own home maybe or on their job, they're choosing to praise and worship You. And You're moving. It's creating a move of God in their lives, and You're working. The favor of God is being released and working in their homes, their families, their jobs, their finances, their situations. Lord, we give You praise for this. We thank You. We're not praising You for these things. We're thanking You for what You've already done and what You're yet to do because we choose to praise You. We honor You and we thank You, Lord, that Your word never returns unto You void. It goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. Thank You today for each person receiving and getting this down deep in their hearts, in their spirits, and it produces an action on their part when they're not here at church, but when they're home, wherever they may be, Lord. The Holy Ghost will bring this back to their remembrance. They're going to say, I choose to praise God right now. The devil ain't winning, and I ain't going to let him think he's winning. Nope. God is my victor, and I'm victorious through Christ. Hallelujah. We give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're in here.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.